Next man up, 102.5, the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Preds are 2-0-1. They have 5 points through their first three games. It's a full Nashville Predators show today, right, Nick Frazier?
Absolutely not.
I want to just get... Shout out the Preds. You know, great start to the year. They play tonight against Toronto. But the big news yesterday, of course, Brian Callahan was fired as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Another move for Amy Adams Strunk in this front office. Whoever's making the decisions, that is the fourth GM or head coach who has been let go in the last 4 years. Mike McCoy taking over as the interim head coach. And I half jokingly said towards the end of yesterday's show, like, what if they make the move today just so Mike Vrabel doesn't get the satisfaction of beating his successor? And what do you know, 2 hours later, he's gone. And the Titans are going to have to hire a second head coach since Mike Vrabel, but a third change since Mike Vrabel was let go last year. So, I mean, where do we start on this? Let's start with the... the sequence of events from yesterday and the timeline of you fire him at one and it comes out and they put the statement out, but they don't have an interim head coach ready yet. It takes about 3 more hours or 4 more hours to find out who the interim head coach is. And then we get a 7:30 p.m. press conference. Like it really felt like this was something that surprised a lot of the people who were in charge, and they had to scramble a little bit yesterday to get everything under control.
Yeah, it's like the Titans working on dial-up internet. You just that's what they're doing. It's crazy. The fact they didn't have Mike McCoy ready to go on in their statement saying he's the guy taking over going forward. It had to come through a press conference that took place, what, 7:30?
7:30 p.m., mid-Monday Night Football.
Why? What? That makes zero sense to me that you can't do this during work hours. Like, this team is not good enough to where people want to go out of their way to go watch that at 7:30 at night. And that was the whole purpose why. They don't want people to find out about
it. Well, right. So Dustin from Hopkinsville, I heard him call into Robbie and Rex Road, and I thought he made a good point that they announced the firing during a midday Preds game where, like, we weren't on air with reaction to it, which I don't think that was why, obviously. But, like, you know, in the middle of something that has some of Nashville sports fans' attention, and then you have your press conference in the middle of a Monday Night Football doubleheader where the national attention isn't going to be on you, and they're not going to be airing it live on NFL Network. Like, that's it. It does sound a little bit like they were trying to brush this under the rug a little bit.
You can't brush anything under the rug anymore, especially if you're in the climate of the Tennessee Titans and the NFL. If you're brushing stuff under the rug, guess what? It's only going to be magnified by 10 times the size, whatever it may be. Because Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN yesterday on every single show. If it was SportsCenter's breaking news, NFL, ESPN, whatever it was, he was everywhere talking about this. Pat McAfee, I mean, I'm not trying to single out Orlovsky or anything, but, like, people care about this situation.
Right.
This is a pressing job that people want to have going forward.
No, I had ESPN on most of the day after the decision was made. And, you know, they were going back and forth between, all right, we got two Monday Night Football games tonight. But pretty much every 30 minutes, they were going back to a conversation about the Titans and the decision to fire Brian Callahan and the dysfunction over the last few years. And that is the... That was me. Sorry. At least it was quiet enough that it wasn't quite overwhelming us. As much as you want to say, like, yes, Brian Callahan deserved to be fired. Rand Carthon deserved to be fired. Even Mike Vrabel, looking back, like, he was 6-18 in his last 24. I would say he deserved to be fired. But the issue is you haven't been able to find stability since you let John Robinson go. And again, John Robinson, the way he drafted the last 3 years, probably deserved to be fired. But you make these decisions thinking you're going to find an upgrade somewhere, and the hiring has not gone well. You've not found people who can fit into these roles. You found inexperienced people who probably weren't ready for that step up in Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan. And now you're kind of back to the drawing board of, okay, how do we find somebody who can develop our young quarterback? Because guess what? Nothing is going to set you back worse than if Cam Ward ends up being a bust, right? Like, unless firing a head coach, you can figure that out. We've seen first-year head coaches turn things around quick. You can't come back from losing the number one pick on a quarterback quickly. You've got to restart, and you've got to pretty much shake the etch-a-sketch and start over.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be restarting every single 2 years with a new quarterback, this team's going nowhere. And to the point about Callahan, you mentioned, you know, obviously it was imminent for him to be fired. Like,
right.
When you have that situation and you combine it with a young quarterback, in my opinion, I think that Brian Callahan was hindering the growth of Cam Ward, and it was time for that to switch up a little bit, primarily because if you have a number one overall pick and he's going down the tube, you need change quick. And it should have happened before the season, not during the season.
Yes.
Because now that has really put your franchise quarterback behind the eight ball, and now there's going to be those stories coming out, well, they unretired Warren Moon's number, and now that makes that number one number tarnished. It just makes Cam Ward look like a bad quarterback. This franchise is setting up their youth into being terrible assets going forward, unfortunately.
Right. You have to figure this out fast to get this under control because, again, Cam Ward, every question, and I think Corey Curtis was the one who said this on our show, was every question or every decision you make, you have to ask the question, what is best for our young quarterback? And I believe that this was the best decision for their young quarterback. They weren't putting him in a position to succeed, and Cam has to be better, but they were not playing to Cam Ward's strengths. And I'm interested to see. Borgonzi and Brinker last night mentioned that Mike McCoy is going to have a press conference today. He's going to announce some of the changes that they're going to make. And he said they're going to make all of those changes in order to try and help Cam Ward. And that's what you need the rest of the season. And we'll talk about this more in depth. But the rest of the season, the wins and losses do not matter. Like, you've already fired the head coach. You're resetting with a new regime in that building next year. You got to keep Cam Ward above water. Mm-hmm. You cannot let him sink and fall into a spot where you don't feel good about him next year. Keep him above water, get the confidence up, and head into next year feeling like he can take another step forward.
Yeah, and just backtracking a little bit when it comes to hirings of coaches and stuff, you look at the previous two coaches or three coaches, whatever it may be, with Mularkey and Vrabel, they had direct line of communication with the general manager. There was no president of football operations in that equation at all. I think after the whole Rand Carthon hiring and then having Chad Brinker into the equation of that, then it became a three-headed monster, and a three-headed monster in the bad way possible. And now you're now stuck with that. That is the direct line of power. It goes through operations, GM, head coach. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
And it's tough because you look back and the height of success for this team over the last 20 years was when you had John Robinson and Mike Vrabel working together. And it felt like that was a good partnership. You know, we don't know what went on behind the scenes, but it felt like that was a partnership that led to success. And even with how bad John Robinson drafted, if he had not made the A.J. Brown trade, I don't think he gets fired, at least midseason. I think they give him another draft to try and fix things. And maybe you're not in the position you are now. The A.J. Brown trade is the catalyst that started all of this, and the Titans just haven't been able to get anything right pretty much since then. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone lines. Dustin from Hopkinsville is on the line. We just talked about you, Dustin. What you got for us this morning?
Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Heading to Savannah, Georgia for a little work trip. Got a lot of content to listen to today.
Yes, I love it. I love it. It's going to be a busy day for sure.
Wait, Dustin, have you cut any grass today?
No. The Titans aren't playing, so I only cut grass when they're playing. when Parker took the phone call, he said, "Oh boy, I bet you got a lot to say." I do and I don't. I mean, team really isn't much to talk about. Well, not the team. I don't want to put that on the guys on the team because there's a lot of good guys on the team, a lot of good rookies promising. But, you know, I'm tired of talking about Amy. It's not going to change anything. She's not going to change. It's cute to own this football team, and it's not cute to us. We're over it. I told him yesterday on a phone call in the afternoon show where they fired – Brian Callahan, did a press game that they play on a Monday. You know, how often does that happen midday a Monday? And just so happened they fire him during that press game while 102.5 is not on the air. They're just broadcasting the press game All right. Everything this team does is in hiding. It's methodical. If you think that it's conspiracy to say that they did that during the Preds game, then did the 7:30 press call or press conference during an NFL Monday night game, you're wild, because usually she fires on Tuesdays. She said, ooh, today's a great day. Here, I don't want to do it, Brinker. This is all in your hands. And, you know, where do we go from here? Like, as Titans fans that knew Brian Callahan needed to be fired, like, okay, great, we fired him. Where do we go? The problem is at the very top, okay? As long as Amy owns his team, and I told him the last call of the last show, I said, you know, stop buying tickets, stop buying apparel. They said, well, they get these TV deals. You know what? Yeah, but it's embarrassing as heck to see the stands empty in a brand-new stadium. Make it happen. That is embarrassing. You think it's cute? Watch this. We'll be cute. But I feel bad because we're part of the problem, and we're not just a part of the problem as far as enabling Amy. We're bringing in young quarterbacks who want a promising career, and we're buying these tickets, enabling her, and we're ruining them every single time. These first-time coaches, there are 32 teams. But, buddy, there's only about 26 to 27 desirable teams, and we are not one of them. We may be the top three most undesirable team in the NFL. That's embarrassing as hell, Amy. Sell the team. Sell it now. You can't do it. You don't have a football mind, and you get in your own dang way. You better hand these keys to Bergonzi and see what this dude can do, because this is your last chance. I told him yesterday. I said, look, I don't even want the assets no more. I'm talking to the lawyers. All I want is the kids, man. I want a divorce.
Thank you for the call, Dustin. She's not going to sell the team. Like we said this yesterday on the show. Like, for anybody hoping for that, it's not going to happen. And you just need her to start hiring better people, right? Like, that is what you need her to do, is start hiring better people. Cameron on the text line saying, I cannot believe there are still people who think John Robinson just went off and traded the second best player on the team. He did that because Amy wouldn't pay him. I understand there's more going on behind the scenes. Like, it wasn't just John Robinson randomly just deciding to trade A.J. Brown. There was everything going on with his agent and A.J. cutting off communication. And I'm sure that that Amy was aware of all of this. It wasn't a surprise. But, you know, it's not exactly a coincidence that Amy Adams fired John Robinson the day after, or 2 days after A.J. Brown put it on him in Philadelphia.
Exactly. Everything happens, and like Dustin said, methodically. I'd say not methodically, I'd say more cryptically. That's the best way to put it. This team cryptically puts out messages in different ways. And like to the point about the A.J. Brown trade, it was cryptically done, not methodically, cryptically.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got lots on the text line. You can continue to get your thoughts in as Brian Callahan has been fired as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Mike McCoy taking over as the interim coach, and we will hear from him at some point today. Have not seen a time for that yet, but we will keep you updated when we find that out. 615-737-1025, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. More reaction after this. You're on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. That was Chad Brinker's opening statement yesterday from the 7:30 p.m. primetime press conference, talking about the firing of Brian Callahan, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. And, you know, for Chad Brinker, I'm sure that it's a tough day. You have to fire someone who they took a chance on, they brought back. And the reports, Jeremy Fowler, Teron Davenport, their article a couple of months ago said that they did consider letting Brian Callahan go. And it's an admission of failure when you have to fire him after just six games. And Brian Callahan, by all accounts, a great person. He just couldn't cut it as a head coach. Yeah. And, you know, at some point, a move had to be made with the way things were trending.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because the Titans did not set him up for success at all. I think, obviously, he's the quarterback guru. That's why he was brought in, whatever, so forth. But you go back and look at guys like Malarkey and Vrabel, they bailed out the Titans. It was like, oh, go do this, and Titans brass is just thinking, please let this work out. Please let this work out. They thought the same thing with Callahan, and that did not happen. Yeah, he just didn't.
Callahan, the lack of experience, and you can go back and say they shouldn't have hired him, but he was a highly coveted coaching candidate, I guess, in those cycles. Like, teams wanted Brian Callahan, so you understand why they made the move, but you look back at the way that he made his staff after that with first-time coordinators on offense, defense, and special teams, and trying to be a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller at the same time, you can see why he was in over his head, and things just never got better. There was no growth. I was one of the people before the season saying, like, hey, let's give him a chance, because you can't fire him ahead of the season. You've given him the full offseason. Let's give him a chance. And from that Broncos game, you knew. Like, not knowing the rules, making bad decisions late in the first half. Like, it was, hey, let's give him a chance. And then it was like, all right, well, he had his chance. That was pretty much it at that point, and it never got better.
One and done. That was it. Going back to the offseason with Callahan and the whole point system thing, even Joe Dubin's mentioned this multiple times, that the point system thing was just dumb. It's elementary. I was a part of something like that in high school. It was elementary. It didn't help us at all. It didn't help anybody. And you go back and look at stuff like that, and you carry it over into the season, and not telling anybody what the true prize is, what the reward is for that, what direction does that send for a message to the team? Like, there is no reward. Well, what's the reward for the season if you guys are 1-4? Nothing.
Yeah, it's been horrible. And Brinker and Borgonzi said they wanted to see growth, they wanted to see progress, and you can firmly say there was none of that. And especially coming off a game where you finally get a win, and maybe that can spark a team and get everybody into it and saying, all right, we won a game, now we can go, we've got some confidence. And to see the performance on Sunday, there was no other choice, really. And I wish Brian Callahan the best. He does seem like a great guy, but 4-19 and not showing any signs of improvement, it had to be done. And I'm going to get into this article from Mike Silver in The Athletic more tomorrow with Corey Curtis, I think, because we just don't have a whole lot of time. But I did want to mention these two quotes that I saw this morning from in there. From a Raiders coach after the game on Sunday: that might be the worst team I've seen in the last 25 years. They don't have any difference makers other than Simmons, and the whole thing was a total mess. So there you go. You've got opposing coaches saying that's the worst team they've seen this millennium.
That's bad.
I mean, and probably an exaggeration, right?
But I don't know.
But to have an opposing coach of a team that is bad say that about your team, that's an indictment. And then this is the one that worries me for the future. According to several witnesses, Simmons stopped Thursday's practice to point out what he considered a poor showing by second-year right tackle J.C. Latham, who had missed the previous 4 weeks with a hip injury. Quote, I've watched you for the last 10 plays, and this ain't it, Simmons told Latham. We need more from you.
Golly, that's bad. That's bad on so many levels. The fact that, obviously, he's a captain trying to get more out of the young player, I get that. But if he's not showing any progress...
I mean, that is... an indictment on Callahan, first off, because why is Jeffrey Simmons the one having to hold J.C. Latham accountable? The coaching staff should be. And yeah, you want to see that from a leader in Simmons. But the fact that he's saying after 10 plays, like, we need more from you. You got Bill Callahan. You got Brian Callahan. Somebody needed to be on him and making sure that he was doing his part. And again, that doesn't make me feel great about the future of J.C. Latham, especially with the performance we saw on Sunday, because that was horrible.
Yeah, and you move him back to right tackle this year in his, air quotes, natural position, and now you don't have much to go off of because he's not showing any progress. And to the point of that, too, you got me on something real quick. That whole Raiders game, they should have kept Ali Udo out there. I think if you have a good offensive line that's gelling well coming off of a win, again, that was given to him on a silver platter. I get all that against Arizona. But you go into the Las Vegas and your offensive line looked somewhat serviceable the previous week, keep what you got out there. Because in my opinion, it looked like Latham just didn't have it. It didn't look like he was fully there. And when you have something like that, you got to go with what's going well for your team.
And speaking of that, I saw this from Drew Beatty, Iron City Film, on Twitter. He's a great follow. If you don't follow him, he analyzes Titans film every week. He suggested moving Latham inside.
I mean,
he said trade Zeitler and bump Latham into right guard because he doesn't have the lateral quickness to keep up at tackle with guys like Max Crosby. And man, how much of an indictment is that on, I mean, Rand Carthon, for the most part, that you spent two top 11 picks on guards and still don't have a good right tackle.
And a left tackle, honestly.
Dan Moore was probably the best offensive lineman the Titans had on Sunday. I mean, yeah. Him and Skoronski. So not that I think Dan Moore is an elite player, but he's gotten a lot better since week one.
That's fine.
So at least give him credit there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to Dave on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dave, thanks for waiting. Good morning. What you got for us?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It's like it's been discussed before. It's kind of like taking that big pumpkin pie. How do you slice the blame? Whether it's the coach and prepping the players or motivating the players for the scheme, or is it just the players who is on the team drafting, what is the cause? And so one question I do think about when we fire a coach is, you know, when you fire one of your subordinates, how much blame do you take? And then the other part is, how many players did the coach pick to be on his team? Probably not, unlike some veteran coaches in the league who have input, I bet he didn't have any input about who he picked. I bet he didn't have any input about which quarterback that he chose. And then the other thought I have real quick is that I'm hoping that this quarterback will be good. But, you know, he was the first pick, first best available in this year's draft. Like we see in statistics, it doesn't mean he's going to be successful. So I have mixed emotions about firing the coach, even though I saw decisions he made that concerned me. But thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dave. I think you're right about, you know, when you fire Brian Callahan, how much blame needs to go to Chad Brinker. And, you know, Mike Borgonzi's only been here for 9 months. So, you know, he's got the longest leash, maybe. I mean,
it sounds like Chad's got the leash that goes around the world twice.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about Chad Brinker on the other side, because that's one of the big questions from last night's press conference. And, you know, the statement that gets put out firing Brian Callahan wasn't from Amy Adams Strunk. It was from Chad Brinker. How long is Chad Brinker's leash? And is this the guy who is going to be able to turn this thing around? Based on what we've seen so far, I'm not so sure. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly reacting as Brian Callahan was fired as the head coach of the Titans yesterday. We'll be right back here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. That was Chad Brinker last night. Asked why Titans fans should trust him to get this one right. And, man, lots to unpack from that. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with some choice music there. The two quotes, and I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this too, of we have 9 Super Bowls in this front office. I mean, who cares? You have zero. Not only do you have 0 Super Bowls with the Titans, I don't know if you have 9 wins with the Titans. So I would put that one back in your pocket. Like, I don't know if that one's...
put it in a closet, in a cloth. Don't even bring it out again.
Right.
That's terrible, like, terrible line.
Until you can prove that you can actually take what you learned from those winning football programs and put it on the field here, I don't want to hear about how you have won 9 Super Bowls elsewhere. Also, we're just as frustrated as the fans. Like, sorry. No, you're not. I mean, it's... Titans fans do not care about any of the people who are in charge, right? Like, Titans fans are not loyal to Chad Brinker or Mike Borgonzi or Mike Vrabel or Brian Callahan or Rand Carthon or whoever it is. They're loyal to the logo. And it's, hey, if we're winning, we like you. But guess what? If we're not, we don't care about you. We want you to be replaced. We are loyal to the logo. We are loyal to the team. And these guys, guess what? They get fired. They can go somewhere else and talk about their 9 Super Bowls with the Commanders or with the Rams or with the Seahawks. Like, they are not as frustrated as Titans fans are at this point.
Look, if they were as frustrated as Titans fans, Brian Callahan would have been gone before the season. In my opinion, I think Chad Brinker would have been gone before the season. Now Chad Brinker's time, it's on the clock. His clock is ticking, in my opinion. I know we all mentioned how long is his leash, and I mentioned, it might be two ways around the world, whatever. No, I think Chad Brinker's leash is shorter than people think.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, if his leash was even close to running out, Amy doesn't let him put out a statement firing the head coach and doesn't let him go answer all the questions yesterday.
That's fair. But I looked at his body language watching that press conference. There was a little fear in his eyes.
I think he just hates doing those things.
Maybe he just has some form of fright in public speaking.
I think he is always worried he's going to say the wrong thing. Like, that's why he did the no cameras press conference.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I think he is always worried that something he says is going to be run 1,000 times a day on radio or on TV, and so he tries to not do those things. And
that's the thing. He's made a fool of himself when, you know, Joe Dubin asked the question, can this team win the Super Bowl?
And laughs.
And he scoffs at it. Like, you are the president of football operations. If you're going to scoff at a question like that and you're going to treat it like it's a Looney Tune question, people are going to treat you like a Looney Tune character, straight up. And that's how I feel about Chad Brinker. I think he's a Looney Tune character right now.
Yeah, I look at this, and I think it was Nick Suss who called in to Robbie and Joe this morning, and they asked him the question of, like, how long is Chad Brinker's leash? And Nick Suss said that he thinks that this is a fresh start now, and Brinker, Borgonzi, and whoever the replacement for Callahan is are all on the same playing field now. Which, you know what? As much as I am not a huge fan of Chad Brinker, and I don't think he's done a good job so far, I really don't understand why he's not being held accountable when he was a main part of hiring Brian Callahan. But I think this is kind of what the Titans have needed, because they've been just alternating who's on the chopping block next.
Yep.
It's like, all right, is it the GM? Is it the head coach? Is it the GM? Is it the head coach? Now, if you can let everybody be on the same playing field and working towards the same goal and say, hey, what? Guess what? You messed this up and Cam Ward doesn't turn out to be a star, all of you are gone. I think that's what the Titans need, is everybody to be on the same playing field, so it's not one using the other as a human meat shield and basically saying, oh, it was his fault. Now I get to go. Oh, now it's my fault. I'm gone. Like, you need everybody to be on the same timeline.
Yeah. I agree to that, but I just don't think that's the way it's running right now, because listening to Borgonzi and Brinker yesterday, to me, Brinker came off as a control freak that whole press conference. Like, oh, that's a better question for Mike. Mike, you answer this. Or he didn't even say to Mike, Mike, go.
It was funny. It was like Mike Borgonzi was basically told, don't speak unless spoken to.
Yeah.
Like,
Brinker reminded me of that security guard that sits in the layer of cameras and they're just looking around, observing everything. That's how I felt about Brinker yesterday.
Yeah.
Observing everything. Mike, you take it.
Brinker was funny. It was like when he got a question he didn't really want to answer, hey, Mike, I think you'd have a good answer for this one.
As I was coming through the sound bites here, it looks like Borgonzi only answered three questions on his own out of that entire press conference.
Yeah, I think he had some like follow-ups where it was like
only when Borgonzi pointed to him.
Like, Brinker would say, Mike, do you have anything to add to that? Like,
Because he didn't have an elaborate answer for that question. And to that point as well, you look at Chad Brinker and he's a chicken with his head cut off in some aspects. When he can't answer a proper question that someone's asking, where's Amy? I think Paul asked a question, where's Amy?
We're going to hear that coming up in the next segment.
What in the world?
I literally laughed out loud when I heard Paul Kaharsky ask that question. So we're gonna get to that. Let's go to our phone lines.
Oh, boy.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's everybody's favorite caller, Trey. Good morning, Trey. Thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was just listening to y'all about that presser that they put out last night. Have you ever, like, been to a bar, you go up to a bar, you know, you order a drink, and you got Borgonzi and Brinker sitting there, and they sitting there talking, and they talking about all the accomplishments that they've gotten, and you're just sitting there listening to them like, who are these quacks? You know, it's like nobody cares about 8 or 9 Super Bowls. Nobody understands that you didn't have any experience when you came here. They didn't have any experience when they came here. I don't care how many Super Bowls that, you know, you can make coffee in a building and say you work for a company. That doesn't mean that you was out there actually orchestrating a drive, you know, doing things to accomplish goals on the field. And I don't understand why we, you know, are now complacent with these characters that's in this front office like they've actually done something. They haven't done anything, and they're ruining Cam Ward, and then they fire Brian, and all Brian was doing was putting plays in there, and the young man couldn't run the play. So they're going to fire him? That's ridiculous. They need a real get stuff together over there, because we're not going to put up with this mess any longer. You know, this is ridiculous. They're the two quacks is what they are, and I can see it from a mile away, and they haven't done anything. I don't care what their resume say. And that's all I got to say about it. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Man, really shocking there to hear Trey say they're ruining Cam Ward, because I thought Cam Ward couldn't even start for Ensworth High School if he went over there and tried out for the team based on what Trey says.
Trey, I think he's kind of changing the tide a little
right,
bit.
Right, ruining Cam Ward. I thought Cam Ward was ruined already when he was drafted. So.
Well, he did say Cam Ward couldn't run the plays.
He
so
did say that. No,
he
did put that
Cam
one
Ward.
Out. But, yeah, you know, we've talked about it, that Cam Ward needs to play better. But the organization right now, your only hope is Cam Ward.
Yes.
Like, if you are this organization and you want to be back in competition to go to the playoffs within the next three seasons, it has to be Cam Ward. Unless you get 49ers lucky and find Brock Purdy in the seventh round, like, you have to go out and find the perfect position to put Cam Ward into. That's players, that's coaching, everything you do is about Cam Ward right now.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We will see what they do. We'll talk a little bit about possible head coaching candidates, what we're looking for in the next head coach. But Amy Adams Strunk was obviously a big topic last night, not being at the press conference. We'll talk about her and her hand in all of this and why she won't talk to the fans anymore. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Makes me laugh every time I hear it. I mean, what a line of questioning from Paul Kaharsky. I thought that was great. Where is she? Where is Amy Adams Strunk right now?
Is that Batman?
Where is she? Where is she?
Where is she?
Where's Rachel?
Where is Rachel? Yes. At her home. And Amy Adams Strunk did not speak yesterday, did not even put out the statement about the firing of Brian Callahan. So the question is, why will Amy Adams Strunk not speak to the fans anymore? Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. You know, the last time we heard from her, I believe, was the canned Mike Keith in-house interview after Mike Vrabel was fired.
Correct.
She did not speak after Rand Carthon was fired. She did not speak now after Brian Callahan was fired. Like, again, I don't want Jerry Jones. Like, I don't want somebody who is hands-on all over the organization making all the decisions. But she is a part of these decisions, and to be honest, the two guys she sent up there have only really been around for, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, they are most likely temporary. I would like to hear from the permanent person who is in charge of this team of what the vision is for this organization moving forward and how this team plans to get there.
To me, I think she's out of touch, man. I think she's said, you know what, and this kind of contradicts what I said about Chad Brinker and his leash, but I think she's letting Chad Brinker have so much say in things that she's just like, do whatever. If we're losing, we're losing. I'm going to keep my hands out of this. You're going to put the direct statement out. I'm just out of touch with all this. That's all you. And I'm pretty sure her family's behind that as well. Like, look, we want to make sure her public, you know, image looks okay to the point. I mean, it doesn't look great right now because the Titans are losing, but as for statements made, yeah, that's all Brinker. Let him take all the fire. So I'm thinking maybe this might be another reverse Uno card for Amy and saying, look, if Chad takes all the fire, he's going out the door sometime soon.
Well, it's just tough because every time she was talking after she would fire a coach or a GM, it was always, I have very high standards for this organization. I want to win a Super Bowl. And now that she's not coming out and saying all that stuff, it's like, hey, do you still have these high standards? What are you going to do to reach those high standards? And I don't need the owner to be front-facing all the time. I understand that there aren't a ton of owners who speak regularly, But when you make a decision like this, it would make sense to, at the very least, go sit down with Taylor Zarzur and just have him ask you a couple of pre-approved questions. Is it perfect? No. But it at least allows you to control the narrative and let the fans know what you want moving forward for this team. And to not even come out and say anything or put a statement out. And I have a quote written down from Diana Russini from yesterday of The Athletic. Amy Adams Strunk reached out individually to Callahan as well. Like, again, you should be a part of all of these front-facing interviews after this. Like, I'm not saying you have to go up there and get questioned by Paul Kaharsky for 15 minutes, but go and release a statement or do an in-house video to at least tell the fans, hey, we messed up. Here's what we're going to do to fix it.
Exactly. And to Amy not making any messages to fans out there, I was telling you before the show, I was finding some Amy clips from about 9 years ago when Mike Mularkey was hired from interim to head coach. And she said, do I sleep at night? No. And to me, listening to that, I'm like, wow, she's actually in tune with everything. Now she's not even making statements. And you're thinking, well, are you still invested? That's my thing. Are you still invested in this team?
Right. Are you just collecting paychecks down in Houston and waiting for the new stadium to be built? Which Dan from Ticket Sales, shout out Dan from Ticket Sales for doing his job. Like, I think it was Mike Herndon put out a ranking of people in the Titans organization I trust to do their job. And number four was Dan from Ticket Sales with the text yesterday of following up with every person who told him, if they fire Brian Callahan, I'll reconsider buying tickets to the new stadium. And doing it within like 30 minutes after the decision was made.
That man wants his commission check.
Good for him. Hilarious. But honestly, shout out Dan for, hey, they want to put butts in seats in that new stadium. Brian Callahan's gone. Loyalty gone. Hey, do you want to sign up for a PSL right now?
Bingo. 10% off? No, they're not going to offer that.
It's so funny. And Dustin from Hopkinsville says, Amy should have to coach this team to see how it feels.
if she actually had a press conference in front of actual Titans media, she'd get eaten alive.
No, she couldn't do that, and she wouldn't do that. No. Like, because, I mean, PK would completely eat her lunch. Yes. Like, I mean, that would be miserable for her. And I don't know if she would definitely not come out of that looking better.
It would be bad.
But if you do, just do an interview with Taylor Zarzur, just to show Titans fans that you are still invested in this team and trying to get him out of this position that they're in. Because right now, it seems like you've given Burke Nyhill and Chad Brinker basically two halves of the company and said, you go run it. I'm going to sit in Houston and take my NFL revenue sharing at the end of the year.
Yeah. If you need some extra cash, let me know. I feel bad for Taylor Zarzur in a roundabout way because the poor guy takes the job. This is a great job for him. And then he's thrown in this situation, forcing interviews with Brian Callahan that go nowhere.
And I got to say, I really like Taylor Zarzur so far.
Yeah.
I've listened to him a little bit. Like, I think he does a really good job.
I agree.
So, you know, shout out Taylor Zarzur. I saw him in the back of the press conference yesterday. I was like, man, you picked a bad year to come on over here.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Keith picked a good time to leave.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jeff says, guys, Amy Adams Strunk does not know what to do. Hasn't she proven that to you over the years? But Jeff, like, she was a perfectly fine owner for a long time when she hired the people who knew what they were doing. And as many flaws as John Robinson and Mike Vrabel had, those guys at least knew what they were doing and knew how to run a functional NFL franchise. That has not been the case for the last couple years, and that is because of Amy Adams Strunk's decisions to let those guys go. Not saying they were the wrong choice, but you didn't find replacements who could keep the trajectory of this franchise on track. Like, those guys dug the Titans out from 5 wins in 2 years up to the number one seed in the AFC and a trip to the AFC Championship game over a 3-year span. You were trending upwards as a franchise that could be a consistent playoff contender.
Yeah.
And you brought in guys who didn't know what they were doing. You got to answer for that, right?
Absolutely.
And you hope that Mike Borgonzi knows what he's doing. At least so far, I think he seems like a competent general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Go find that in your next head coach.
And again, take Brinker out of the equation. If you have a solid head coach to GM communication line, that's what will fix this. Because then you're able to evaluate true scouting. You're able to say, hey, we're going to XYZ in the scouting department, and say if the scouts are not doing their job when recruiting players or looking at players, evaluating them into the draft, they need to be out the door too. Because this all stems back, I'm trying to figure out, it might have been 2 years ago when Carthon was in the press box in a preseason game and said, we're going to, of course, this is not under a different same regime, but we're going to evaluate through our scouting department. And if there's a same scouting department that's there,
well, Rand Carthon didn't change many of the scouts from right. John Robinson at all. And that has changed. I believe Mike Borgonzi, at the very least from what I've seen, has started to overhaul some of those previous scouts, which I think is important because they're clearly not finding very good players correct. Right now. So it's a mess from the top to the bottom right now. But you seem to have a GM who you feel good about in Mike Borgonzi, and I'm taking Chad Brinker out of this for now because I don't know what to think about Chad Brinker because it feels like he's here for the long haul and you just hope that he doesn't mess it up, right? So you've got Mike Borgonzi, who I like so far. It's early, but I think his draft picks are showing promise, and I think he seems to have a good grasp of how to build a roster in the NFL. What are you getting a head coach? Because you hope you have the quarterback, you hope you have the GM. The head coach is the biggest part of it, to be the bridge between those two guys and develop the young quarterback into a franchise guy. We will talk about the head coach coming up next. What qualities do you want in the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans? What names out there are you in favor of, maybe against? I know there's been a lot of names thrown around. We will talk about some of those. And again, what we think would make a good next head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Our number one in the books. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game.